Welcome to the Washington Heights Church weekly podcast. We do this to help people feel at home at WHC, where we help people meet and follow Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for tuning in again to the Washington Heights weekly podcast. And one of the things that we try to do on a regular basis is help you understand the church a little bit more, get to see some of the behind the scenes events and people. And today I have one of our staff members here, Pastor Jimmy Pitts, and we're going to try to understand Jimmy. We're going to try to limit that to 20 minutes, Jimmy.
Okay, we'll see. This isn't a roasting event?
Yeah, there's a line right outside the door of people who are going to come in. Jimmy, it's great to have you. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about you, like where you're from and your family?
Yeah, that's great. Well, I originally from North Carolina. I was born there by about two months old, my parents decided to move to California. So then they moved me to the Bay Area, California for 15 years. So I'm more of a West Coast boy. But then for some reason, right in my ninth grade, they wanted to move back to North Carolina to a tiny little island, which was a complete culture shock for me, going from the West Coast, California, to a very tiny island.
Yeah, I mean, you're from the East Coast. That. I've been to that island, and yeah, it is narrow.
Outer Banks.
It is narrow.
Like a half mile wide and about 60 miles long.
Yeah.
Outer Banks, but that's
not the place to be in a hurricane.
No, we've evacuated a couple times. But my family's originally actually from there. My mom's side, my dad's side is from North Carolina, more of the hills. And so during my high school years, they wanted to bring me back there. Ended up going to high school there, graduating there, and then right out of high school, moved to Hawaii, because if you're going to serve God, Roy, go to Hawaii, right? Yeah.
People on the beach need Jesus too, don't they?
Dude, I went to church on the beach. It was awesome. Right on the beach, took my towel, laid down there. It was great.
I believe you. So does everybody else listening.
Yeah. So I was actually out of high school, went into an organization called Youth with a Mission. It's an organization that just kind of does a mission work throughout the world. Was in that for 10 years, a great time in my life.
Yeah, and as mission agencies go, they're kind of avant-garde, aren't they, Youth with a Mission, YWAM.
YWAM for short. Yeah, that's right.
And they're kind of out there a little bit, all right? Some just off-the-beaten-track kind of things, initiatives.
Which doesn't fit my personality at all, you know?
No, I'm sure that was hard for you.
I think that's what the church had to adjust to, actually, when I came on staff, was that training. Yeah, so with YWAM, I ended up leading teams and all over the world. I've currently probably been to about 33 countries. You know, a lot through YWAM, actually a lot through Washington Heights now, being here for a couple of decades.
Yeah, so you were with YWAM. How'd you get to Utah and Washington Heights?
Got to Utah. I just love the culture. And because of the culture, I thought, you know what, a great place to live is to be in the culture here of Utah, which is so different than what I was used to either in California, Hawaii, or North Carolina. So I moved here and ended up... I thought, you know, this is a great place to live, but I don't want to die here. But then I actually fell in love with the place and the people. And then was asked to come on Washington Heights staff in 1995. And so came on staff then. And it's just been a dream ever since.
And talk about your role right now. What are you overseeing?
Yeah, I'm... pretty much the community and outreach, you know, pastor. So my role is a lot of compassion events that we are doing and we have done since the pandemic, more than I think we've ever dreamed of doing, of pulling the trigger on different things and people just stepping up, responding to it, giving like to our community like we couldn't believe. And so I'm basically the conduit of... the person in the community versus the church, you know, in the church, and then just kind of making that things happen. Whether it's big party events, we did an End It race to fight human trafficking in September. That was just incredible. The amount of people that come up, we raised $20,000 just because people's hearts are so big, and that's just a heavy, heavy thing in our community. Mm-hmm. And we just seek to make a difference. And taking food trucks to the police departments to chalk appreciation in front of the hospitals during the pandemic. I mean, it's been awesome. And then also trips overseas. Yeah. And so I do quite a few trips overseas. I was in Lebanon and in Beirut in March. Man, I didn't, this was just happening, and I had 2 days to get home. I didn't know what was happening at that time in the world, and I know Roy was probably hoping I was on a longer sabbatical, but I ended up making it back. And so I do trips overseas, just scouting out things and then also planning for things for us to do in the future and just go help in the world.
So you're involved with a lot of the compassion stuff. Just talk about that and the heart behind that.
Yeah, man, I don't know what it is of how God made me, but I think I am in my sweet spot in my giftings and my personnel and talent when I'm in the community and just getting people excited about doing something for the community. And with God, not with, doesn't even Washington Heights, right? It's just a secondary. It's Jesus. It's who it's what we're about. And just loving the world with no strings attached. So for me, it just charges me. I don't get tired of the events.
Yeah, and our mission, right, isn't helping people attend Washington Heights. It's helping people meet and follow Jesus,
yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
And Washington Heights hopefully facilitates that, but it's not just about this church.
No, the end result is always to meet Jesus, but I am so thankful to be on staff here, and just I'm humbled every time. I don't think I deserve to be on staff, but I absolutely love it, and I love the role that God has placed me in here.
Yeah, we took a vote on that, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, you took a vote 15 years ago when it came on. I got grandfathered in.
It was 5-4. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, shoot.
So we're in a season right now that is all about compassion and doing stuff beyond ourselves called Love Gives. Just kind of frame that up for us. What is that? Where'd that come from? What are we doing it? And why are we doing it?
Yeah, I think a couple years ago as a staff, we were trying to figure out how to pitch our season, our Thanksgiving to Christmas, and making an impact by giving to our community in ways that perhaps we hadn't done it before. And so as we brainstormed together, and as you know, you and I talked, and even the staff, we came up with from Thanksgiving to Christmas every weekend, pulling the trigger on something different for our community, ranging from Christmas boxes to all the men who collect the trash in Weber County and landfill departments to bulletproof vests for multiple police departments, which we have done over the year, and sheriff's departments too. Mm. And so, so we're right in the middle of it right now. I mean, it's awesome. And if you don't know anything about it, please go to whc.faith, just click on Love Gives, and just see the things we're doing where you can participate, because these are things we're doing with no strings attached to just love our community, because we believe that is the God we serve, who would want us to love people unconditionally. So we love our church when they get behind these things. One of the exciting ones is, you know, a facility that we're doing this week is called Wide Horizon, and they're the intellectually disabled, from young adults to seniors. And you walk into that facility, and it would take a special person to work there every day. Mm. And they have these employees that just love it. Mm. And just think of the amount of work it would take. And so we, as a community and as a church, thought of, like, let's just, what can we do for them? So I talked to them, and they said, hey, what do you guys need? And they're like, well, we just need, like, socks and underwear and belts. We're like, what? Just what else? And so we're going to obviously collect the things for the residents, but then for the staff, we're just going to go overboard and bless them with things they're not even seeing coming. And everyone has actually taken a box home and for one of the staff members there too. But we're also doing some over the top stuff for them that they don't even see it coming. It's just going to be exciting to share that with everyone when it happens.
Yeah. You get the joy of often seeing the reactions of those people too.
Yeah, I do. I do.
When those kind of things happens, and it never gets old, does it?
It never, never.
And I think, you know, if we can just kind of brag on the people who do call Washington Heights Church their home, man, their response during this time every year is just incredible.
Yeah.
The generosity, the willingness, you know, to be out there in the community, to donate stuff, deliver stuff, serve is, you know, it's almost like, gee, can we do this all year long?
Right. And it just feels so good and right to be part of a church, you know, a group of people who not only are so generous with their community, the finances into their community, but like you said, that are willing to step up and serve too, because sometimes you get one or the other. in churches. But man, our people, we say, hey, I need 30 people over here. I need 700 people here. We need 300 people for Feed My, or 3,000 people for Feed My Starving Children. They all show up every time. Yeah. And, you know, I get nervous sometimes about these events because I'm like, oh, it's going to be you and I for like 6 days packing meals, Roy.
Yeah, you told me that I was going to be there as long as it takes. Nobody showed up.
But it's just, it blows me away every time. And it's just, I love our community. I love our church-based community. They're good people.
And, you know, I think that whole compassion effort speaks to just a really important issue of our day, because so often the voice with which your church speaks into the world and culture, boy, it's negative, judgmental, loud, you know, and just many times over the top. And, you know, our conscious decision is that we're going to lead with compassion into our community. And that doesn't mean we're not going to speak the truth in love. Mm-hmm. But, man, the first point of contact, if that's compassion, I think that is exactly the right voice with which to speak. And, you know, I think the Bible even talks about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There's this whole example, you know, of something that was just going bonkers inside the church. And the Apostle Paul said, you know, you need to deal with that, right? So we deal with stuff that's in-house. But then later he makes a statement, you know, what business is it of mine to judge the world, right? So it's, we're not the judge of the world.
Right.
I mean, we're all in process here, and, you know, we're going to, you know, call it like it is here. But when we think about engaging the world around us, compassion is the right voice with which to speak.
Yeah, and I think you said this one time, and you may have got it from someone else, but I thought it was a great, you know, perspective, a great quote, is that if you're going to lean in one direction or the other, you said you would rather lean in grace, basically, than non-grace, you know, basically judging people versus giving people grace, or giving to people versus being too stingy.
Yeah.
And man, what a difference that's made, not only in my life, but I think in the direction of where we're going. And I think it's the heart of God. Mm. That's what God does for me, like every day, not just some days.
I think there's a very underappreciated verse in the book of Romans. It said, it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance.
Yeah.
And I wonder if sometimes there'd be more repentance in this world if Christians were showing more kindness.
That's right.
In this world, rather than, you know, just raising the voice and coming down kind of hard.
Yeah.
And that's not to say there are issues, but man, how about we begin with ourselves?
Yeah.
How about we would begin with, you know, our own house, so to speak. But as we reach out into the community, let's do that with compassion.
Yeah.
One of the other things I know that you are a part of and have been from day one is God's Garage. And we were limited in space. We've got a new facility.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
That's going to allow us to
celebrate,
do a whole lot more there. Just kind of frame up the future. What does that look like going forward?
Yeah, it's awesome. So just a quick background. We've been operating for 2 years now with God's Garage, a little over 2 years. We've received about 130 cards. And within that, we've probably given 60 cars away. About 50% of the cars are scrapped. But we get money for them. So it actually goes back into parts. For the past 2 years, we've been operating in a little one bay once a week, in a facility, but we can't leave anything on a lift. So we've been praying and hoping for something, and it opened, and it is a game changer. We have six bays, you know, half of them are taken by a master mechanic who helps us evaluate and assess the vehicles, which is so important. And then three of them are our dedicated lifts. And so we currently have 15 cars we're looking at, and we have at least 15 girls on the list waiting to get cars. And so starting next week, actually, we officially reopen. We're getting the electrical done today and tomorrow for the lifts. The lifts are installed. And it's going to be a game changer in being able to help these single moms with no transportation. That is our focus, is single moms with no transportation and wives whose husbands are deployed. And we actually have a wife who contacted me yesterday. Mm. She has she has triplets. Her husband's deployed, and they're all special need, and her van's busted.
Wow.
And so she's bringing it down tomorrow.
Wow.
And then we're going to start looking at it next week. I mean, I couldn't imagine the difficulty of what she's facing with no transportation and the situation she's in. And her husband's gone.
And what an honor to serve those folks.
That's great. Do it with no charge. Yeah. I mean, that's the best thing. We give these things away and give them constantly to people. And it's exciting with no strings.
And There's a one particular story I'm going to ask you to tell here. And, you know, we were parking a lot of the cars here at the church because we just didn't have space
right.
to put them. And so way in the back there, there were probably, I don't know, 30 cars or so, give or take. And then one day we heard that there were some kids over there breaking some windshields. Talk about that story.
Yeah, so it was a Saturday. I was just kicking back at home, and then all of a sudden get a call from Weber County Sheriff's Department. They're like, hey, Jimmy, we found some kids breaking the windows. He called me earlier that day because he noticed they were broken but couldn't catch them. So for some reason, the kids came back that afternoon, and he goes, we caught them. What do you want to do? And I'm like, I'll be right there. So I'm not far from the church, 5 minutes, and I booked down here and met the kids and the mom in the parking lot, you know, with the sheriff. And the sheriff's like, what do you want to do? I go, let me just talk to him. And so I started chatting with the kids, and I said, do you know what these cards are for? They're like, no. I go, well, we give them to moms with no transportation, people who are walking in the cold with their kids who can't go anywhere. And then, and I said, so every time you affect, you know, and break one of our vehicles, it takes it away from that lady of getting that car just longer and longer. So she has to walk in the snow, even though it hadn't snowed yet, more and more. I was just laying it on thick, Roy.
You tell a good story.
So these kids were feeling like the size of an ant by the time I was done telling them what the cars were for. And the mom was just like, they need to pay. We're paying for these. We're going to do that. And I said, no, not this time, right? Because you even said it, God's goodness leads us to repentance. And I go, not this time. I go, but they can come volunteer. And so lo and behold, I gave the mom my cell, said, text me if you're interested. And she goes, yeah, we will. And she sure did. So that next week they showed up at the shop and I had them paint a wall. It was just incredible. I had to repaint it, but it's okay. They were there. But they were literally put their best effort into it.
Let's not have them work on an engine anytime soon.
Yeah, probably not brakes. And so ended up, fed them lunch and dinner, and just they hung out all day. And at the end of the day, the boy was one of the boys is like, I don't want to go home. I really like it here. Can we come back? And I'm like, you can come back anytime you want and help. And the mom even texted me and said, that was just one of the best experiences for them. And, but that's what it's about, even in that kind of moment of getting caught.
Yeah, it is. I think, though, what that story reveals is a little bit of the heart of Pastor Jimmy, though. Because I think a lot of people would have either gotten him in trouble or made sure that stopped, and it would have ended there. But you know, Jimmy gets people involved, even maybe with embellishing stories, but it's for a good cause, right?
It's always a good cause.
But no, I think that really is your heart.
Yeah,
that
I just
no
love
matter
God
who
and
they
love
are,
people.
That you want to get them involved in what God's doing.
Yeah.
Hey, as we wind this down, Jimmy, what is maybe one lesson that you've been learning recently? And it could be anywhere. It could be from home, God's garage, here, anywhere.
Man, I think the lesson for me is just to continually simplify my life and to serve God with more enthusiasm.
More enthusiasm?
Yeah.
Suddenly we're all very much afraid.
Yeah. Man, I just, you know, because God has given me so much, I just want to be so much more appreciative of what he's done for me and just keep it on the front burner of my life and so that I can serve him greater with enthusiasm and appreciate every place I'm in, you know, because I'm pretty opinionated guy. Roy knows that in some of our staff meetings. But man, sometimes I just think I just need to slow it down and just be thankful for everything and just serve God and be grateful.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you for joining us. And thank you for all you do.
I love it.
A unique component to our staff. It is a beautiful thing. So
thanks, man.
For the many ways that you serve. And we thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you can join us next time on the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. We'll see you.
Thanks for joining us for the Washington Heights Weekly Podcast. A new podcast will post every Monday. We encourage you to check it out, subscribe to it as well. It'll come into your feed automatically. And if you want to share that with somebody that you know that maybe wants to find out a little bit more about Washington Heights, go ahead and share that. And we look forward to hearing from you as well. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.